right, I'm in my church office today. It's actually a little bit late tonight. I was having some technical difficulties earlier, which is why I'm going to be, this will probably be streaming on the late side this evening, but hopefully it can be a help to you, and maybe you'll be able to log on in preparation for tomorrow morning, and if not, be able to look at this tomorrow morning. All right, let's begin here, and we are on week 3 and day 1. I hope that this has been a helpful schedule for you. It really has been for us and my family. We've thankfully been able to stay on track so far, and we're looking forward to this week as well. Let's get right into Mark chapter 11, which will be where we are doing our personal devotions. And I want to think through this passage and how we can pray through the passage, pray scripture. There's a lot of things going on in Mark chapter 11. It starts off in this chapter with a triumphal entry. Talks then about this fig tree that's withered. Mentions the cleansing of the temple by Jesus. And then it comes down to two verses that I want to focus in on. And these verses are in verse 25. It says, "Whenever you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, forgive him, that your Father in heaven may also forgive you your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father in heaven forgive your trespasses." So it says to forgive. Praying scripture. So, this passage has really, you could see the character of God in two different ways. I mean, there are probably more, but the ways that I'm seeing here. One is you see the justice of God, the triumphal entry, and the withered fig tree. All of this, just generally, I'm not going into the details, but generally it's talking about, Mark is again emphasizing the reality that God is setting aside the nation of Israel so that he can extend his grace to all. But in doing so, he has not just turned his back on Israel without giving them many opportunities to come to him and to respond to him. He's given them many opportunities to do that. And we've seen that in the book of Mark. And so they have not responded. And so Mark is pointing out in these different stories that Jesus is turning his attention and tending to turn his attention toward the Gentiles. And so that is really why we're able to receive the forgiveness of sin from the Lord. And so I wrote in my adoration, part of my prayer, "Lord, I praise you that you are both a just and forgiving God." Also in confession, the confession for me was obvious because there is this command to forgive and this reminder that if we don't forgive, then there's going to be a kind of forgiveness that's withheld from us. And so I just wrote, "Lord, I confess my unforgiving spirit." And it is easy to hold grudges and to hold issues and hold things against other people. And we pray, Lord, that I prayed just, "Lord, help me. I confess that I do that. It's easy for me to have an unforgiving spirit if I'm not careful." And it's funny how it can be even, it can go unnoticed until you're really asking, are you clear with everybody? And so confession. Thanksgiving is next. And that is, I wrote, "Thank you, Lord, for your forgiveness and extending your grace to me." So it's because of God's wise plan that his grace is extended to me, not just to the nation of Israel. And that's clearly in the passage, and his forgiveness is clearly in the passage as well. And his justice. You see his justice, by the way, also in the cleansing of the temple. He goes through and he says, My house shall be called a house of prayer for all nations, but you have made it a den of thieves. And then finally, we have this petition, is the next part of the prayer. And I just said, "Lord, help me to forgive." So it's pretty simple today. Help me to forgive others. What he's saying here in this verse, 20, 25 and 26, is that if we don't forgive others, then it's not as though we're going to lose our relationship with the Lord, or we're going to lose our salvation or something like that. But there is a sense in which the consequences of our sin We'll get the full weight of them if we don't forgive. And that, to some degree, happens naturally. In Hebrews chapter 13, it says that we are, when we have let a root of bitterness stay there, it can spring up and defile many. And so it is really, it is just a such an important practice of the believer to learn how to forgive. The word forgive means to let go. And the Bible says that God lets go of our sin, doesn't hold it against us because of Jesus Christ dying to pay the punishment for our sin and taking it on himself. And in the same way, we need to let go of other people's sin when they sin against us. There are so many family problems. There are so many struggles. There's so many difficulties in life that really it's because its root is in an unwillingness to forgive. If God has forgiven us the massive amount that he has, we are unworthy of his forgiveness. How much more should we forgive someone a small amount that they have sinned against us? And then Genesis is the next passage, Genesis 28 and 29, and this is continuing the line of Abraham, and in Genesis 28, get there here, it says, then Isaac called Jacob and blessed him and charged him and said to him, you shall not take a wife from the daughters of Canaan. Arise, go to Padan Aram and the house of Bethuel, your mother's father, and take yourself a wife from there, from the daughters of Laban, your mother's brother. May God Almighty bless you and make you fruitful and multiply you, that you may be an assembly of peoples, and give you the blessing of Abraham to you and your descendants with you, that you may inherit the land in which you are a stranger, which God gave to Abraham. So the passage explains that Jacob is going to receive from Isaac this blessing that is a reiteration of the Abrahamic covenant. Remember, it said in the Abrahamic covenant, all the families of the earth will be blessed. We have a part of that that's given here. So it's telling the nation of Israel that this is where the Abrahamic covenant will come through. It will come through the line of Jacob. And, of course, you know the story where before we get to where Jacob meets Rachel, there is this dream that Jacob has, and he says, your descendants will be as the dust of the earth, and you will spread abroad the west and the east and the north and the south, and you and in your seed all the families of the earth will be blessed. And so God reiterates that command, that promise, that covenant directly to Jacob. So Jacob then does what Isaac says and goes into this land, Padan Aram, and meets Rachel, and he falls in love with her. Just head over heels falls in love with this woman. He goes to her her father Laban, and he says, "I will work for her for 7 years." And he does that. And the Bible says he loved her so much that the 7 years seemed like just a very short amount of time. But Laban tricks Jacob and gives her Leah, the older sister, first. And here's how I explain this to my kids. First of all, my kids asked, how in the world did that happen? Like he didn't notice it was a different woman. And I don't know the answer to that entirely. My imagination tells me that they didn't have electric lights back then. You know, maybe it was at nighttime and when they were married and it was dark, and maybe that had something to do with it. Maybe he was intoxicated. Of course, they had alcohol back then. We know Noah got drunk. So maybe there was intoxication that causes. We don't know. The Bible doesn't say. That's not really the point. The point is that Laban did trick this guy. He tricked Jacob. And in tricking Jacob, Jacob really receives, he reaps what he sowed. Remember how he tricked his father into giving him Esau's blessing? And now this is, it's coming up against him again. and the same sin that he's receiving. It's, you know, sort of this pat, this idea of what you will sow, that you'll reap. And I think that there, a good application for our kids, a gospel-centered application, is this idea that God has the world set up according to his justice, and his justice is what you sow, that you'll reap. That he can't declare the sinner guiltless, Scripture says. In other words, you will, a punishment must be carried out because of your sin. And there is consequence for sin. Now, the glorious truth is that God has taken our ultimate consequence for our sin. And that ultimate consequence is eternal death, which Christ experienced on the cross for us. And we can be grateful for that. So there is a gospel theme through here that you can glean from this and that you can express to your kids. Remember, each day, find the gospel-centered truth in the passage and express that to the kid, to your kids, so that they are constantly, you're bringing the gospel in front of them. They're learning and growing and knowing the gospel every day. And that wraps it up for this this session. We're going to go ahead and not do our final devotional enrichment. I'll just put up there again this book, The Bruised Reed, which I would encourage you to get, and it's really good devotional reading by Richard Sibbs. Hope you have a good first day of the, or actually first day of the week of Sunday. You already experienced that. Hope you had a great Sunday in worshiping the Lord. But hope also that you, as you head out on Monday here, that you'll be able to meditate on the things of the Lord and grow in Christ.
Bethel Baptist Church is a family made up of people from very different backgrounds and from every age group. But we all have one thing in common. We have found a personal relationship with God through Jesus Christ.
When a person discovers how to have a genuine relationship with God, they are given a sense of purpose and meaning in life. When that same person belongs to a loving community where God's Word is taught, they will grow in their relationship with the Lord, and their life grows in purpose and meaning.
Our focus is on making and building disciples for God's glory. We accomplish this through corporate worship on Sunday mornings, through adult Bible studies where we learn God's Word and how to effectively apply it to our lives, and through our discipleship home groups that meet in various locations throughout the region. Additionally, there are one-on-one and couple-to-couple counseling and discipleship opportunities. We genuinely desire to help you grow spiritually any way we possibly can.
Our children's ministries are extremely important to us. We have a lot of young families with children, and we believe in the importance of teaching truth to the next generation. Teachers and nursery workers will be available to introduce themselves and assist you in signing your children in and out of their classrooms.
Bethel Baptist Church is a growing, loving family community.
We hope that we've been able to show you a small glimpse of what Bethel is like.
But we'd love to meet you personally. Join us for a worship service, a small group, or Bible study. Let us be a blessing to you and your family.